everybody. My name is Anne Teato, and welcome to the Psychic Matters podcast, episode number 17. Nature is the visible face of spirit, yet we often walk this earth half asleep, totally disconnected from nature and all the medicinal benefits it may bring us. Shamanic practitioner, healer, and druid Thomas Marty is on the show to generously share his incredible knowledge of the land, our ancestry, wherever you are in the world, and the importance of working in harmony with the natural world. Thomas specializes in a spiritual practice known as Ogham Tree Healing, working with the spirits of the trees and channeling their energy in order to facilitate self-healing and healing for others. As a shamanic practitioner, Thomas teaches that trauma can energetically imprint upon the body and express itself in physical manifestation, leading to illness. By using the shamanic techniques of power loss, soul loss, and spirit release work, it is possible to gain a spiritual toolkit that will serve you for the rest of your life. Grab a coffee or a glass of water. This episode is incredibly empowering, and you will never again walk on this earth without being mindful that everything is alive with spirit. I'm in the Psychic Matters studio today with Thomas Marty, shamanic practitioner and druid. Tom, welcome to Psychic Matters.
Hello. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got lovely.
A glass of water. Great. I've just been out for a walk, so yeah, I feel really wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I got up this morning and I had to polish off the last 30 wands that I'm making, so I had to give them the final lick of polish.
Wands.
Wands, yes.
That's incredibly interesting. I want to ask you about your work making wands as well. Where would you like to start, Tom, with all the work that you do?
I think it all started sitting in the front room, aged around 51, thinking, where am I going in my life? What am I doing? I'd been, or I am, a Reiki master, Reiki Karuna master. I've done the Federation of Spiritual Healing course. I've done so many different courses in healing. I've sat in circles. I've done all those things, and there was something still missing. What was missing in my life? Now, I'm there. I'm married, three lovely children. Work's going fine. What's still missing? And this has always been the thing in my life, and it's to do with spirit. What is the communication? Why isn't it working? Or is it working? And there's times it does work, and that's brilliant. But there's an emptiness. What is the emptiness? How can I fill that? So I sat there and I thought, well, what's next, Thomas? And a little voice said, shamanic healing. And I went, well, that's interesting, because I sat on in a circle probably 2 years before, where this very scary lady came, decked in silver bracelets, big, enormous blonde hair, and sort of just silver everywhere. And she was lovely. She was big. She was full of energy, and just talked about shamanism or shamanism. And I thought, oh, that sounds a bit scary. It's flying all over the universe, and just, you know, can you come back or with the spirit world and that? But this thought came into my head. I said, okay, well, let's have a look at it. YouTube, shamanic healing, a couple of sites came up, and then one saying the Sacred Trust in Dorset. And it rang a bell. There was an affinity straight away. Read the website, and I thought, yep, this is it. This is the place for me to go to train. So I looked them up, and you do an introductory course to check whether you can journey. Journey is a way of working or navigating the spirit world in a shamanic way or world. They have the upper world, the lower world, the middle world. The middle world is spirit enveloping or interacting with physical reality. The upper world, you're working with spirits that tend to come through in human form, all wise, all loving, all compassionate, and they will be the teachers in many ways. The lower world, you're working more with the power animals that would come through in, as they say, in animal form, and work you with protection, help you with your healing, aspects of your healing work. So we did that course. And again, I found, wow, yeah, this works. This is brilliant. This is so exciting. And it's something that I'd not had in any of the other projects or courses that I'd been involved in. This was, I'm seeing this. I'm feeling this. This is real to me. So I did a couple of courses, weekend courses with the Sacred Trust up in London. And then I applied for the 3-year shamanic practitioner training. I was accepted and then started 3 years of training. On the very first component, you go there, you dig a grave. You also do a number of other rituals and rites, which we won't talk about. But the grave was fantastic because you dig a grave, and I'm quite a big guy. So mine intended was 5 foot deep, 3 foot, 4 foot wide, and you cover it with a small little hole for breath. And we spent the night in there, and you commune with Mother Earth, with the goddess. Wow. You talk of your life as much as you can remember, good, the bad, the ugly, what comes up, and you're honest. What a beautiful opportunity to speak from the deepest part of you, to get anything you want to get out. You can sing, you can move as much as you can, and everybody would get a different experience. So I can only really speak about my experience, where I saw a wolf at different stages throughout the evening or the night. It was quite far away. Then the next time it was closer, then it was closer. And then I journeyed on what is the wolf, and it was my ancestral clan. So my clan of ancestors is the wolf, or the wolf clan. And from that, sort of, you take that into other, you learn about what is illness, where does illness come from, and in the physical world. And it starts, as we know, in spirit, and it sort of comes and manifests into the physical. Now, when it's in spirit, sort of, or at that side of ourselves, if you like, it's when we are either, when we're working with spirit, we are powerful. We are full of spirit. We are full of power. And again, with your allies, you can have as many allies as you wish, or that wish to work with you. They can be gods and goddesses. They can be the power animals. They can be expressly for extraction work. When you're pulling energy that shouldn't be in the body, or has no need to be in the body anymore, you're pulling that out. For soul retrieval, and that's with trauma work. We all have trauma, from stubbing your toe in the morning or in the middle of the night, through to major life issues, breakups, accidents, illnesses. And with the soul retrieval, we would go out into spirit to find those parts of the soul essence that wish to come back at this moment in time to work with your client. We bring them back. They bring back energies with them, or gifts. We find out what they are. We also find the reasons why they left as well. Now, spirit tends to speak in metaphor or in symbols. So sometimes the information we get sort of, and again, it's all done for the client, for the client's point of view. It's not me and my journey. I am just doing the journey for the client. So all the messages, everything comes back as a package for the client to read, to understand. We don't interpret it, because that can water it down. That can make it sort of inconsequential, in the sense that sort of how they interpret it. It's very easy to say, oh, I don't get it. I don't want to know what it is, and put it in drawers. Whereas if you look at the work, and as you know with psychic work, give it time, things come out to the conscious level. We look at psychopumping or depossession. Most people, I'm afraid to say, are carrying, I will call them energy, but entities, if you want to call them entities, shades, all sorts of things. And again, we go in and work either face-to-face, or I've done a lot of this work distant, as in a distant healing. And remembering that everything is energy, everything is vibration. And when you break it down on that level, and you're working with spirit, you're working with the allies who are very powerful, and the idea is that we work as a team. I'm the physical side of it. Spirit works in the spirit. So together we can work long distance with the client. We pull things out, and then put energy and healing energy in. Curse removals, things that are consistently happening in families, all the way down the line, this always happens to our family, why am I cursed? And we laughingly say, use that word. But cursing, especially in today's world as well, is making a comeback. It's those negative thoughts. It's that, no, that guy there, well, he's a complete nutter. And you direct their bows and arrows, their spears. You walk down a busy high street, especially if you're in London, and the amount of people, all those negative thoughts, all that negativity that's flying around, and we don't do enough protection. If we are protecting ourselves, and again, shamanically, we're consistently bringing in allies, different allies for different things, but your main 24/7 protection ally, you wear them like a coat, you're walking down, nothing can touch you. Stuff rebounds off. I've been attacked and sort of psychically or entities trying to get in, and they bounce off. They don't get in because you are protected and it's that strong. So we pull things out, we put things in, we do a lot of divination work, we teach people how to journey for messages for themselves. You can get direct revelation from the gods and goddesses or from spirit. And then you get lots of, not, I use the word spin-offs, it's not spin-offs as such, but a lot of women shamanic practitioners will do a lot of work, especially with the feminine, the divine feminine. And it's really, really positive, strong work. And we're slowly now starting getting some shamanic men doing work for male groups. And it's all because we've lost our links in this modern world with all this, with our divinity, with the divine inside, with the sacred spiritual. Religions across the world are sort of are imploding because for years they've just not, they've got caught up in their own power games in many ways. And it's not about the people anymore. It's about institutions. It's about money. It's about power. We as individuals owe it to ourselves because we create the world around us. So instead of blaming other people, take responsibility. And anyone and everyone can do this.
Wow, that's a lot. That's fascinating, because some of the things that you talk about are very different opinions to my own and very different ways that I look at the world. So I'm fascinated to have this conversation with you just to see how we both look at, both being spiritual beings and light workers working in very different ways. So let's go to the grave that you dug. Can I go back to that part, Tom? Because this is very interesting to me. I know that in the Toltec community, they would have what they call recapitulation, where they would build a box and they would get inside the box and have a similar experience to you, where they're going back to their childhood, they're reliving all the traumas and all anything that comes, all of that sort of stuff, and they spend some time in the box to cleanse, and then they burn the box afterwards. So they burn all the hearing. So that sounded similar.
So what we also do with around that time, the thing, the bit I didn't say, was that we also work with the ego of the aspiring shaman. So we do that in a certain ritual that takes place where you look, again, you create something which is full of maybe the negative side of yourself, the ego, the things that are sort of you know you would like to get rid of. It is a sort of a way of cleansing. You create that, and then there's a whole ritual, which I'm not really, I can't say about, because it's, again, it's a piece of work, and it's a secret piece of work to do with the sacred trust. But with that, you are confronting your ego, you are getting rid of your ego, and it's all done in a very safe way, but it's a very, very powerful way. I mean, I remember sitting on the side of the hall thinking, oh, I'm going to get called up in a minute. What can I say? And I was thinking, the very bad part of me was, or maybe the ego part of me was saying, well, you could say this, and that sounds interesting. And, you know, sort of, yeah, because then I'm so interesting to all the other people on the course. Yeah. Suddenly, Simon looked at me. And as soon as he looked at me, the energy dropped out of me, or should I say, I was suddenly filled with this sort of, you can't run, mister. You can't hide. This is truth. Mm. And I stood up, and as I stood up, everything shifted for me. And there was this, and I had to come out and I had to speak from my heart, and buckets of tears. Truths being told, a recognition, and also words of advice saying, this isn't the whole healing, put it in with the burial later. So there is, look at the ego, work with the ego, get rid of what is not needed. But again, done in a safe, practical way.
Standing there with your, you know, you've cried and you've gone through this whole experience, you're stripped back, as it were. And so back to your soul self.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, sort of at that stage, we're not really told what it is, you're just having that experience. But there is no hiding, and there's no thought of hiding. Once you're up on that podium, that stage, doing that work, And I would say sort of it's the same when I work as a healer, when I work as a whatever way, as a shaman or as a druid or whatever. When you power up, there's no hiding. You sort of, well, there's no falseness there. You are full of spirit power. And it's the most powerful thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah, to go back to who you truly are, that's very interesting. And you also talked about the shamans believing that there is an upper, a lower, and a middle.
Yeah.
Their world. And that reminds me of a tribe in Africa called the Pedaha tribe, and they are the most little studied tribe in the world. And this missionary went to stay with this tribe, and he was trying to convert them to his Christian religion. And anyway, that's another story, but they very much believed in this upper world and the lower world, and that they lived between the two. So when they were asleep, they were in the other world, and when they were awake, they were in this world. It's fascinating. So there's a similarity there.
When we're trained, sort of modern Western shamanic teachings come from a guy called Michael Hana, who is an American anthropogenist. Apologies. That word. I mean, the studies tribes, groups, people, should we say. Well, he went down to South America, and he was studying with his tribe, and they kept this is in a nutshell. They kept disappearing into this cave, and you thought, what are they doing in there? So he went and had a look and realized they were having a mystical experience. And I can't remember now, and I don't want to get it wrong. I think the first few times they were doing it, they were taking like ayahuasca, that type of IV drink to help them transcend or move into that space. But he quickly realized that drumming, you could reach the same state. It's not a trance, but it's altering the brain waves.
Yes.
So 4 to 7 beats a second, bang, 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 bang. And once you've learned how to move into what we call is our world, we call ordinary reality.
Yeah.
Spirit world is non-ordinary reality, and then you go to the upper world and the lower world, or you can do middle world journeys. Michael Hana. Yeah. So yeah, and he developed this sort of the drumming technique. My teacher learned with him back in the 70s or 80s or what it was, brought it back over here. And again, it, as with all teaching, it develops. But basically the four tenets are the same. You work with the drum. Once you learn that you can journey upper world, lower world, middle world, journey, you're meeting with the spirits of these worlds. It's up to you what you do with that. So if you go for the proper training, in the sense with the shamanic schools, they will teach you how to heal using, you know, the things that I just said, the extraction, soul retrieval, psychopomp, depossession, curse removal, taboos, but also to how to divine, to work in divination in different ways, and whatever else, ancestral work, feminine work or masculine work. And that's the joy of it. It is evolving.
Yeah, that is the joy of it. Tell me about soul retrieval then, because that interests me as well. Okay. I have done a weekend of shamanic practitioner work, maybe not shamanic practitioner, but shamanic, it was just a shamanic weekend, I think.
Okay.
And I found it fascinating because we went on these soul journeys. But yeah. Tell me a little bit more about retrieving the soul, and why do parts of the soul leave, and where do they go?
Okay, so I've done this now for God knows how many times, a million times. The premise is the same. I do a diagnostic journey for the client. One of the things that comes up now and again is soul retrieval. They are powerless. They need to reclaim some of their energy. So my intention is to journey into the upper world, lower world, or into spirit to find the soul part for client's name that wish to come back and work with them at this moment in time. Now, if the person suffered trauma, as I said before, it could be as little as stubbing your toe, something major happening in your life, a little part of your soul essence, it's almost like a safety factor, will fly off. Because if we keep hold of all the energy and it's all trauma, it can all be too much. If you look at the animal world, you see when an animal is attacked by another animal, they'll give up. Bang.
Yes.
Now, a lot of them will sort of, bits will fly off and they'll run away and they will be saved. Hooray, they live. And then what they do is they lie on their back. You watch them, big cats and things like that, and rub. And that brings a lot of their soul part. They're getting back into the physical world. So maybe that's something we should do maybe after you've suffered trauma, not lie on the floor and rub, but it's that sort of physical contact. Go and get a massage, rub your back, get back into the physical world. Because if you're living in the emotional, mental world, sort of all the trauma that you are then creating or acknowledging will manifest.
Right.
That's when we do sort of get emotional issues, problems, mental, that they do end up coming through into the physical body. So just backtracking, we go off. So there's, so I use a rattle because it's easier. I just prefer a rattle. Right, right, I'll give my intention. I visually see myself spinning wherever. Could be out in the universe. It could be anywhere behind waterfalls and water in the mud, behind a tree. Doesn't really matter, but I'm led to a place where there's a, and then I'll see that person aged whatever. So I'll say, oh, Jeffrey, are you there? And then a face might appear out of the mud and say, yes, I'm here. I say, how old are you then, Jeffrey? And Jeffrey goes, well, I'm 3 years old and I'm really peeved off because no one's listening to me and they're not feeding me and blah, 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 and it's all too much. So you can get them as young as three, as a baby. I've even had them coming from cell parts that have come out of the womb for specific reasons, all the way through to however old they are old now, however old they are now. Different cell parts, different ages. They give me the reason why they left. And I say, okay, fine. And you know that sort of you'd like to come back because Jeffrey could really do with a hand now and sort of wants to move on. And the soul part says, yeah, sure, fine, brilliant. What I want to bring back is, and then it will give me a strength, a gift, and another positivity that it wants to bring back and give to the person.
Right.
So it gives that list. I then sort of gather up in my crystal. Now we use clear crystals because they work in the upper world and lower world. So we collect the soul part up. You can do it with your hand if you haven't got one of the crystals. You come back and you blow it into the client's heart chakra and head chakra. I then rattle around. I see it moving in, and that part is then delivered back to the client.
So is there a benefit to parts of the soul leaving, do you think? So that later in your human life, you can come back and bring a gift with you. Is there a benefit to that, do you think?
They tend to come back at the right time, these parts.
Yeah.
So it's like a bank in one sense, that things that do fly off, bits do come back. Because after a few days of trauma, you start to feel your old self again. Where you've said, I stand beside, well, I feel beside myself. When we start to sort of come back, we sort of feel ourselves becoming one again. Yeah. And that's because you probably split from the physical and your etheric or the astral body has just shifted out. So you're just bringing it all back in line.
Interesting. Because I think our soul doesn't just reside here in the physical. I think we reside in the spirit world as well and other realms. I don't feel we're all here in this human self. So I think there's so much more to the soul that we think it's just this one thing.
I'd agree with you. I think the soul is truly marvellous, beautiful. It works on many different levels, dimensions. It then links up, of course, with soul group. It links up with others. And of course, it's all part of the one great divine, which, again, sort of how much we are trained as a shamanic practitioner. And we call ourselves shamanic practitioners rather than shamans, because the idea being that it's your community that would call you a shaman. So we in the West are getting trained. It would be too egotistical of us to sort of say we are shamans, because, you know, sort of I did a three-year course, and now I'm living this life. And my community, which, well, you know, sort of you slowly make your community with the people that you work with over the years. And they're probably not all from your area.
Yes.
So it's a different, and in today's world, it's very much a virtual community as well.
Yeah, it is, certainly at the moment it is. And tell me about psychopomp. What does that word mean?
Psychopomp is a Greek word that means it's like a mover on of souls. It's depossession as well. They sort of come together as one. So what we will find, or what we've found in people, will be the human entities that have sort of come back in for whatever reason. Again, if we all acknowledge that we are energy, it's that thing of an energy form finding something resonates with your energy, and they might pop in. They might like see the light around you and want a part of that. It might just feel safe. There might be a bit worse than that. It might be something that are not very nice, and have just come in, and it might be something that you've picked up outside a real grungy pub, you know, and they want to come back and have a drink with you, you know.
This is where my current thinking is different to yours. So, yeah. And of course, I say that because we're always evolving and changing as we learn more and more. So I keep a very open mind about everything. But I'm currently, I find it difficult to accept or believe in something can be attached to me, or that there is a negative entity, because that's not within my experience. So I'm very interested to hear you talk about that.
Okay, so just to move it a bit further, other things that I've ended up pulling out of people will be nature spirits. Again, sort of picked up as you're walking through nature or through the city or wherever. Well, a nature spirit could be anything that you can know of the fae. And that also goes down. Some of that are the demons that people talk about. I don't know too much about that. And so talking about that side of things would be out of my experience. But I've taken a few demons out of people.
What, when you say demon, do you mean a black thing with horns on its head? Or what is your...
Well, however it wants to show itself, or however I pick it up, I just pick it up as an energy. I know, so it's an energy form that doesn't need to be in this person, shouldn't be in this person. So let's, you know, and I am told that through my guides, they do the work, we pull it out.
So that's a good explanation of demon then. An energy form that doesn't need to be in the person. Yeah. Rather,
the same as in houses or whatever. It energy is energy, and, you know, vibration is vibration. Who are we that have lived upon this earth in this modern world, you know, for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years? The Earth's history goes back, you know, 40,000, 400,000, where people have lived on the, things have happened on this land,
yeah,
either natural or man-made. So energy is energy, and if you disturb stuff, it can bring that energy up.
Fascinating. Because I was thinking this morning, when I moved into this house, which is a rented house in Suffolk, something had happened. I could just sense it in the kitchen by the washing machine. It just felt like there'd been an argument or something in the air. Mm. Every time I stood there, I felt, oh, something's gone on here.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's within a physical space. And you're talking about within the human space. So how would you take something, if you're just going for a walk in the woods, how do you make sure you don't take anything home with you?
I would say, again, it's intention protection. And again, if you sort of walk, if you're working with your heart, if you're walking around in a loving, beautiful sort of way, you're going to be protected.
Yes. But what are these things of these energetic forms, and why would they attach themselves to a passing human being?
Sometimes it's just have a bit of fun. You know, we can come up with all the nefarious reasons that we like, but sometimes from the human point of view, we also say, there's aliens out there looking at us. Well, there's aliens in us sometimes as well, because they come interdimensional. And so what better way to look at somebody than from the inside to experience what's going on?
Well, I can understand that from my work, Tom, because when I'm doing trance mediumship, channeling from the spirit world, then you're inviting spirit people in, and you're literally blending with their spirit and asking them to put their face over your face, their hands over your hands, and then you're literally using your eyes to look out at the world. Yeah. So I understand that aspect from my experience.
Yeah.
But I'm finding it hard to look at it from isn't it weird? Why is it so challenging for me?
I don't know. I mean, it's that thing of, I sat there with people and how we would sort of say, well, you know, I've been told that there's some psychopomp or depossession work to do. So you can be drawn to parts of the body, but you might also say, where does it hurt in your body? Where is there a niche, a scratch, or, you know, something that isn't quite working? And you would take that as a starting point to bring whatever is in there out.
Demon is an energy form that is unwanted within the physical space, rather like an that is unwanted within a house space or an environmental space. So I understand that.
Well, you know, we've built these houses on land. We don't know the history of the land.
Yes.
You know, sort of nature spirits or just spirits in general sort of inhabit everything. Everything is alive with spirit. That's how we see it. Mm-hmm. Hence, that you can communicate with them and ask them to move on or move them on. We in shamanism or shamanic training practitioner, we don't see anything as evil, nasty, horrible, you know, sort of they must be damned. Very much like the church does. Down them to the seventh pit of hell or whatever. That's bad. That's nasty. Just move it on to where it should be. Talk with it. Find out why it's there.
And what sort of conversations do you have?
Well, with the nature spirits, they can be hysterically funny because they'll you can be sitting there talking to this, what is, comes across as a human entity who's had a very hard life and died in terrible, tragic circumstances back 100, 200 years ago or just 10 days ago, whatever. And then you say, right, it's time to move on now. So let's, are you ready to move on? And it goes, and then it just, and again, this is through the client speaking. Because you're asking the client to take just move to the what to the side and let the entity speak through them. And there's a way that the nature spirits sort of tend to laugh, or there's a look that suddenly comes over the person's face and you think, this isn't who they say they are. And the nature spirits will have fun at your expense. And you can be there if you wanted to. You could be there for hours negotiating, talking about why it should move on and why it's the good for everybody and the universal law of sovereignty and blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes you just go, actually, we haven't got the time for this. So I'll just bring in one of my big allies, nature allies, who just comes in and says, and I just say, look who's behind me. Do you want to move or, you know, move with this fella and understand the rules, the universal law of sovereignty? And it's done, it's completed. And sometimes the ally will take them straight away or the entity will agree to be moved.
And what is the universal law of sovereignty?
Well, the universal law of sovereignty is that you cannot interfere, move into the energy, or take over the energy, or try to get into that under person's energy field. Mm. So consciously, knowingly sort of move into it would be wrong. So sometimes you come across quite tragic cases where babies or older people or whatever have just gone in because they've loved the energy. They've felt the love of the person.
Your clients who come to you, Tom,
yeah.
What results are they experiencing? What are they saying after a session with you?
Most of them sort of would come back afterwards and say, well, I've never slept like that before. That's the first time I've been at peace, and that's carried on through into the next day and into the next week. Physical ailments that they've been suffering from for a number of years sometimes are completely cleared, or sort of we might go back and have a second session if it's not quite gone. To finish the work off, generally a light, because you're cleansing cleansing their energy form, so it tends to be a lighter feeling, better. And if it's a specific ailment, illness, or whatever, if it's 100%, it's 100% positive result. Sometimes you might need to go back a couple of times with someone to shift it along. Sometimes you get a good 75% of it working. There might be so much there after a lifetime of living in a certain way, you're not going to get 100% sort of miracle cure.
Yeah, of course. So you're an energy practitioner. Would you describe yourself as
that? Yeah.
It fascinates me because I just think there's so much I don't know. How come I don't know that there are nature spirits and spirits? How come I've never really considered it more fully myself? I know about the fairy world, the spirits, but I don't know enough about it.
I want to sort of come back into the Ogham tree healing, because again, that's working with the spirits of the trees. So Ogham tree healing, Ogham is a word which sort of is really the ancient Irish alphabet, the god Ogham, who was a god of writing, all to do with the Dagdaer and the Tuatha De Nann. And in my druid work, we look at the Ogham trees. There's 25, 26 trees, and each tree has a symbol, and it's the symbol of this alphabet. And there's four groups that are made up of the alphabet, and five trees in each group. Each tree represents a letter. The fifth group is the sounds, if you like, the A, E, I, O, U, that which came in from the Greek alphabet mid-14th century. So there are five groups of roughly five trees. originally used, or should we say for the last 50 years, has been used for divination. So people would work with Ogham cards, and you can do readings for people. For example, let me just pull out silver birch. So silver birch belongs to the letter B in the Ogham alphabet. That's associated with the birch tree. And symbol represents new beginning, change, purity, rebirth. So I was sitting in underneath my oak tree in my local reserve, bird reserve, or the sanctuary, as I call it. So I was sitting under there, chatting away with the spirit of the oak, who just turned around to me and said, right, now your work is to explore scientifically and medically each one of these trees. What is it used for in science, in medicine? Which means if it has that energy within its makeup, can we channel that energy for healing work? So really on that session, I spent a year and a half sort of on the computer, YouTubing, reading books on all the 25 trees and coming up with a great big list for each tree. So for example, with the silver birch, as well as cleansing, depression, diet, foundation, vitality, helps and diets, new beginnings. So if you've got a new project, go and sit and channel the silver birch symbol. Protects mothers and their young. It also then is good for cholesterol levels, detoxing the body. It's good for high blood pressure, respiratory diseases, digestion, cystitis, kidney and bladder, and a host of other things that have all can be taken from that tree. If you like, in the physical world, so you can use it. You can go and sit under the silver birch and just sit in this energy. If you can tune into the spirit. So I'm running these workshops where it's called the Beginner's Book of Ogham Healing, where we learn the 25 symbols. We create a grove in our spiritual world, if you like, in the astral, where you will go and meet all of these trees. You'll meet the guardian of the grove, you meet the gods and goddesses of each tree, and we will learn to self-heal and heal others.
It just fascinates me. I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the book that you've written is called, say it again, Tom.
Beginner's Book of Ogham Tree Healing. It's currently with the editors at the moment, so I'm just waiting for that to come back.
And when are you doing these workshops?
Well, I'm starting one in September. I'm doing a free taster course on the Thursday the 17th of September. So if anyone's interested, please contact me via my shamanic website, which is www.martyshamanichealing.com. And that's M-A-R-T-Y, shamanichealing.com. And if you send me an email through that, I can then sort of put you on the list. Then the week after, from the 24th through to the first week of December, there's 5 weeks, then a week off for half term, and then another 5 weeks. Costing, I think, between 250, I think it is, if you pay up front, or 275. And it will be held on Zoom Thursday nights between 7 and 9, 2 hours each session.
It's fascinating. And this is unique work to you.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Now, from what I've tried to find out, if anyone else does Ogham healing, I think people are aware of you can do certain things with it. I've not come across that many, or if any, websites where people do what I do. So I'm saying that I will attune you, very much like in Reiki, where you attune yourself to the symbols. What I'm saying is that you can attune yourself. So, yes, I'm saying come and read the book, or come on a workshop. But basically, this is stuff you can do yourself. So in the long term, it should save you money rather than doing hundreds and thousands of courses. Although saying that, I'm about to start teaching my advanced course, which is like the second level of it, where we're looking at chakras, we're looking at working with the fae, we're looking at the elements, bringing the elements into play, because the elements are an incredibly rich source of healing and information and whatever. So it's really sort of hopefully opening the whole thing up and saying, look, let's come and have some fun. And I think with all our work, Annie, I've got to say the most important thing is we don't do it. Well, we do it because we're serious and we want to heal the world and blah, blah, blah. But it's also fun.
Yes.
As I said about being powerful, there's no other feeling, not even after a breakfast of sausages and eggs or whatever. You know, sorry. It's that thing of, you can't buy this. This is real. It's natural.
Yes.
And anyone and everyone can do it, and we can feel it to different degrees. I mean, I worked my first workshop of ladies and one man, and the results they're getting, and I'm thinking, I can't do that. But then sort of, why should people only do what I can do? You know, we all have gifts in different ways, and people will find different ways of opening up. Artistic skills that people have already got are being completely expanded.
Yeah. And talking of artistic skills, Tom, you make these beautiful wands. Talk a little about your work making wands.
Well, again, it comes from working with the trees. There I am walking out, and again with the druid work. Druid work is absolutely fantastic. You learn to breathe with the land. You become one with nature. You learn to bring sort of the higher mental down to work with the feminine, making magic, making life real. It brings you alive, as well. Say, so walking through the woods, hey ho, you just keep coming across branches, you keep coming across sort of twigs and things like that. And part of the druid training is you do look at wands at a certain point when you're actually on the druid part of it, of course. And I thought, lockdown, sitting at home, yes, I'm working, my day job is sort of, I'm head of welfare well-being in an international arts college in Cambridge, but I'm got a lot of time at home, even though I'm going in there to work. And I started to think, you know, I can make a wand or two. Yes. I've made 200 since I am one of these people that sort of when I start something, that's it. It's mm-hmm. madness. But this is the freedom of what the druid work, of the shamanic work, of working with spirit. I've had two other books of fantasy stories. One's called The Way of the World, and the other one is A Little of What You Fancy. They're out there on Amazon and Lulu. And again, they're sort of spiritual stories or humorous stories, should we say. Short stories, they're fine. I've got, as I said, the Ogham book that's been written. There's a number of novels that are in process that have been written. So it's a non-stop love of life that you sort of think, well, who am I? What am I? This is who I am. Now let's explore it. Let's really sort of do it. And you don't do it for other people. You don't do it for monetary value. You do it because you can do it, or you want to try to do it.
Yes.
William Blake, you know, sort of a brilliant artist, man, never famous in his lifetime, just said, I do it for me and I do it for God. What better? Now, nowadays we say the divine rather than just make it a male sort of thing. But it is that thing of, well, yeah, you do it because you can. Have fun. It doesn't matter how much or how little you can do it.
That's where you find, well, that's where I find the most satisfaction in life, when it is just you, the divine.
Yeah. And I go for walks all the time as much as I can, trying to lose weight. This is just doesn't work. It's back to those sausages again. But it's whatever's on your mind. You know, if you're trying to process something, go for a walk. Walk in nature. Walk on grass. Walk. And if you haven't got that, walk the streets. Or if you've got a plant, talk to the plant. There's a reasons why all these things have been said and that. And I remember the first time a crystal talked to me, back when I was in my 20s, and I had a little sort of quartz crystal. That's the one I'm talking about. Sitting beside the bed. And as I turned the light off, went down, I heard a little voice go, "Night, Tom." And I went, "You what?" I thought it was the cat, and it wasn't the cat. It was just the quartz crystal. And, you know, and since then, I work with crystals. I work with bark, you know, sort of use anything I can. I found a beautiful a stone came to me in the back garden literally a week ago to represent the divine feminine. When I look at it, there's a hole in the middle with the womb, and there's a distorted face at the top. Real shamanic art, piece of art, if you like. And I did magic with it last night. These things just come, you use them.
Yes.
Fantastic. Always, before you take anything, so like with branches stuff, if it's on the floor, they're yours. If you're going to take anything from the tree, ask the tree. Don't take anything living, take anything, only stuff that is dead. What's his name? Stuart, who does loads of book on the fae and on nature and that. And he said, he puts it beautifully. He says, how would you like someone to come along and break off your finger? Because your finger looks nice and they could do something with it. Don't.
And I've got some flints for you that I
can. Yes, you do. Yeah. And I look forward to sort of.
So that you can make your wands, because you made me that beautiful oak one with a symbol of the Ogham symbol for oak.
Alder. Was that one alder?
No, it was that. You gave me two. One for my daughter, Jakura, and that was the alder. And then the oak one was for
Ah, right. Oh, oak's beautiful. Oh,
it's a stunning wand. Are you selling the 200 that you have? People might.
So what people are doing, they're saying, I give them a list of the silver birch, rowan, alder, ash, willow, hawthorn. Oh, hawthorn's lovely. Hawthorn, oak, holly, hazel, apple, ivy, beech, and aspen. They're the ones that I've got so far. Just drop me a line as you get through an email. If you want them, I'll take pictures of what I've got. You tell me. And there's three price range, £25, £20 or £15. And then you'd have to pay post and package and posting. What I do with them is I empower them. So I empower them with the elements. I empower them with the Ogham symbol. I also empower them with the energies of that tree in the Ogham work, magic work. Also the god of Ogham work. I empower that in. So it is a real sort of powerful wand. I'm ready to go. And I talk with the spirit of the wand and it gives a message of what specific work it wants to work with the person. So out of all the list of the things that like oak, you know, security, protection, opening the door to expand your spirituality or your knowledge or your experience and a number of other things, it might just say, This one is to help you in your learning of spiritual, in your spiritual development. So when you're sitting there and you want to meditate, you want to explore an idea or a theme or read it, open up your circle, sit there with your wand and use it. Sit there with it. Get to know it. Feel it. Feel the vibration of it. I mean, they can dance in your hand, and that's how powerful they can be. And again, it's just get to know them, get to know the spirit. It's alive.
I wonder, Tom, could you tell us about your work as a druid? Because I don't know. I mean, you've touched on it there with the wands and that beautiful power, the energy of the wand and stuff. But I don't think I've ever met a druid. And I've known you for years and years and years, but I've never met a real life druid before. I mean, tell us about that, because I see them as being these sort of people you read about in books or look at in film, but I don't really know what they do.
You prod them with sticks and laugh at them. No, you don't. Listen, my experience and the shamanic work gave me the icing on the cake of life and experience. Once I started working within OBOD, and I thoroughly recommend it, OBOD. And that's the order of bards, overts, and druids. So the first section, if you like, is the bard work, your creativity. It will inspire you in whatever work and whatever form you, and even if you don't think that you are creative, you will suddenly become creative in so many ways. Druid is full of folklore, okay, and folk stories, and it's our history, and it's the history of druidry, it's the history of practice. So it was handed down by word of mouth. You know, that's why there's no records of anything. Now all the farty old scientists that say druids killed people and blah blah blah, they haven't a clue. You know, druids went round. They had the ear of the kings, the queens. They were philosophers. They were scientists. They were the counselors. They worked with the people, the healers, the divination. They taught whatever needed to be taught. They were that class of people, and there were many types of druids, hence the bards, overts, and druids. So the bards were the beginners, and they were going, very much like the minstrels in some sense, that they would recount big poems, stories, or whatever, through the lyre, the harp, singing these epic tales, or sometimes very short ones. And they would have to learn hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them to go up within the bards. There was a scale of bard in those days. This is from information we have, because you have to look at the Irish. We go to Ireland for so much of this information because it was written down. They have records of it. Wales do to a little degree, and Scotland, maybe even smaller, but nothing exists in England because the Romans just came and wiped everything out, and most of Wales and that. So you will find out, you will learn about the elements, you will learn about sort of just creating your own groves, creating, you know, sort of an access to the spirit world. The overt section, the middle section, is the healing section. And again, you're learning about astrology, the great astrologers, the Druids. It's not my cup of tea, but I sort of got totally involved. And that's how I got involved in the Ogham thing. Because on that section, that's where we started to learn about it. And again, I can't say too much because it's these are classes set within an organization. And they keep them secret for a reason. But I would say, you know, if you want to live with the land and the land energy, with life energy, with spirit energy, you cannot do any harm by looking at become a Druid. And then when you move over into the Druid, it's much more philosophic. And again, all the way through this, you're encouraged to work with organizations out here, out there in the world that are doing good for the planet, for the animals, for the forests, for the seas, for the whatever. It really is working with nature. It's working sort of hand in hand and acknowledging that this, if we want to be around for another 100, 200 years, let alone thousands, we've got to start doing something about sort of cleaning our act up. And it starts with the self, work with the self, cleanse yourself, and it's the old bubble or ripple technique. You know, it will go out and encourage people to go on marches and whatever, or sign those things are that against whatever is going on in the world. Yeah, so Druidry, I joined OBOD. I then found in Meetup, which was, I said, Druid organizations in Cambridge. And suddenly there was one there, my good friend Will. And whilst there's a number of people that are part of that group, I just joined the meet. We started to meet officially last year. And again, there was just a small number of us that met on this field beside the River Cam, underside these willow trees that had mistletoe. Mistletoe, again, is all heal. It's a beautiful plant, beautiful energies. The willow tree is fantastic. In this almost grove, and we every 6 weeks, we go, we commune with nature, commune with the earth, commune with each other, with the spirit of love and the spirit of life. And there is a ritual, which we tend to use the OBOD version of it. And then we add things that we want to bring into it. And we come from all walks of life, all if you like, different types of backgrounds, different types of people. And for that hour and a half or 2 hours that we're together, I can honestly say it's one of the most enjoyable times because you're with like-minded people. You're bringing this energy in, and it's fun. We're back to that word fun again. It's joyous.
Joyous. Oh, yeah. Gosh, it's beautiful. And men and women?
Men and women, absolutely. Anything in between is welcome. Yeah. There's no one that would not be welcome.
When OBOD, O-B-O-D, can you just spell or say again that third?
Order of Bards, Ovates, O-V-A-T-E-S.
That's it, Ovates and
Druids. Again, I think, is it a French word, Greek word? I'm not sure. It's all part of the Celtic thing that came from the East. I think it all started originally around Turkey or whatever and spread west through France into Britain. Stones, again, my God, well, Druids in the stone circles. Yes, go there. Explore them. They're full of power. They're just so exciting. And yeah, you might be that weird person like I was in Cornwall. I've got my wife who's not really into this, but she drove me to this in the middle of nowhere, and I had to sort of go across this complete wasteland of nature and farmland and locate these stones. And in the distance, I could see someone else walking, but on the other side of the stone. So I thought, are they coming? Is he coming? And then I couldn't see him for a bit. And we both arrived at the stones at the same time. And it was one of those, you can travel or, you know, sort of from wherever, come to this place that no one ever goes to and meet someone at the same time. So we skirted round, ignored each other for a bit. And then you had to. We had to say, hi, my name's Thomas. And my name's George. Where you come from? He came from Cambridge. I come from Cambridge. He was there to research a novel, and I was there to do my Druid of thing. And so we had a nice little chat, and then sort of time slips when, you know, the these places are time, you know, you're working with spirit, time just flies.
So going forward in your work then, so you've got your book that's with the editors.
Yeah, at the moment, if you go to my shamanic website, there isn't any information on the Ogun. I'm due to meet with the person that's going to do my website. If you're interested in doing the workshops starting in September on the Ogun tree healing, just on my website, you can contact me through that email, and I will get back to you and set up sort of on my normal email address.
Perfect. And just once again, Tom, your website is
www.martishamanichealing.com.
Tom, I wish you all the very best with getting your book of Ogun healing into print. It sounds like it's going to be such a resource for people, for a start off. And secondly, your course on the tree sounds fantastic. So I really wish you the very, very best with that. And I'm sure you'll get lots of interest as well. And good luck with everything that you're up to. You've really given me a lot of food for thought here about, I mean, I take a daily walk here when I stay down here in Suffolk with the dog. And I'm going to be taking that daily walk in a completely different way now, where I'm paying attention to the environment around me.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Cheers, Annie. We'll speak soon.
Well, that was Thomas Marty, shamanic practitioner, healer and druid, and a very good friend. I've known Thomas over 30 years now, and I can honestly say he is one of the most powerful healers I have ever known. Do consider taking his incredible workshop on the Ogham tree healing, and or think about booking yourself in with Thomas for a healing session. You won't regret it. All links and resources for this episode can be picked up in the show notes, which are available on my website, www.anteato.com. That's A-N-N-T-H-E-A-T-O. Thank you, all of you, for listening to Psychic Matters. We have just passed the 5,000 downloads mark, which is an incredible achievement and one of which I'm very proud of. And it's only thanks to you, the listeners across the world. Thank you so much. So very, very much thank you for your listening ears. If you are one of the 5,000 people enjoying these podcasts, please do consider going to Apple Podcasts and leaving an honest review, because it really helps with algorithms and moving the podcast up the charts. And thank you so much to all of those who have left a review so far. I mean, I've had some incredible reviews, and I really, really can't thank you enough for those. They mean the world to me, and they always really uplift my spirits every time I read them. So do please keep them coming. If you're lonely over the next 2 weeks, head on over to the Psychic Matters Group Facebook page and say hello. There is no need any longer for us psychics and light workers to feel alone or misunderstood in the world. There is a wonderful, warm community waiting to welcome you. My next podcast is out in 2 weeks' time, and I have some amazing guests lined up. Oh, yes, I do. Amazing people. And I cannot wait to interview them. I've got two interviews lined up this coming week, and I can't wait to interview them and bring them to your door. Until next time, my name is Anne Teato, and thank you for listening to Psychic Matters.